There's confusion. I think there's a thing going around about tempered tuning, which is, in my opinion, nonsense, because you cannot tune these things tempered, because it's not a tempered instrument like a keyboard is. If you try to tune these things note for note with a piano, you'd be totally out of tune. And I don't really know how to tell you a scientific way to do it. I can only tell you the way I tune and the way I always have. I always get an E from the piano, or either from a tuner, a 440, everybody's got to be, you know, have a starting point together. But once I get the E string, then I tune everything else by ear. And what I do is tune the major notes first before I get to the pedal. So if I'm starting, I start with the E string, and that's the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 8th and 10th string. So that's what I would tune first. And then I'd go to the 3rd string, because that has a little funny sound, but you need the others to tune before you get to the 3rd string. So you tune 4, 5, 6, and 10, 8, 10. And I'm assuming that he's already in tune, so. This thing's almost in tune. You should have put it way out of tune. And you always press those pedals, you know, to get those strings stretched, because if you don't, once you turn those keys, they're going to, and press the pedal, sometimes it's going to move the string, so. All right, now I've got 4, 5, 6, 8, and 10. They're in tune. To my ear. Then I bring the 3rd string in, which gives you your complete E9th open tune without any flats or sharps or 7ths or 9ths. Okay, then, that's in tune. Then I tune. There's a problematical string here on 1 and 2, because it gets into the tempered phrasings when you get into the F sharp against the E, or into, I guess, the B note. So I tune 1, 2, and 5 together. Now I know my 5th string's already in tune, because I've already tuned 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10. So I hit the B string, the 5th string. And then I hit the 1st string, the F sharp, and that's what I tune next. Now where's the pedal? Have you got a pedal on the 1st string?
Yeah, right like the left.
And you always have to rock off of those things, knee levers or floor pedals, to make sure that that string's not going to change on you. Actually, tune to turn the key in. Okay, those two are in tune. Then I bring the 2nd string in, and it gives you another triad chord. This is the 5 chord. For instance, what I've just hit open is E open, right? That string keeps sharpening. I don't use that kind of string. I use a wrapped string on the 6th. These unwrapped strings, if you touch them, they're going to sharpen because of the heat from your hand. But anyhow, that's an E chord, so then you want the B chord, which is 1, 2, and 5. And that's a triad chord, too. Those three strings are easy to tune together, so that's what I tune 2nd. So now, I start on the lowering strings. Do you have a pedal lowering the 2nd string here?
The 2nd string, right leg.
Okay, he only lowers a half tone. I lower a whole tone. So anyhow, if you want to, see, you get into the tempering problem again. That's not going to be in tune with the 1st string. So you have to cheat a little bit, either make it flat or sharp. I try to split the difference on that string. This would make more sense if I were doing it with my guitar, so I know what I'm doing. Well, since he only lowers a half tone, then I have to back up one step. I'll go to the 3rd and 2nd pedal and tune 3, 4. Make sure that I know the 6th string's already in tune with the 1st, so I'm going to tune the 3rd and 4th with the 6th string.
Okay.
that the fifth one?
It's not half, I think it's half. I'm gonna use your tuner.
You know, let me back up a little. Let me just go to my guitar, because this one's pretty much in tune, and I understand all the pedals on that, and I can save a lot of time. One more. I'll take up where I was at as soon as I get to my guitar. Okay, so we were at the first, second, and fifth string. Almost everybody, most of the players do lower the second string a whole tone, I said, half tone, and then another half tone, so you have a whole tone. So after I tune 1, 2, and 5 open together, then I press the second, the B and C pedal on the floor, hit the third and fourth string, and lower the second string a half tone where the tuner is for the half tone, and that's when I tune next 2, 3, and 4. Part of that same chord is just 4, 6, and 9. So 3, 4, 6, and 9 are the same chord, the same melody. Then you tune your ninth string with the second and third pedal down with strings 4, 6, and 9. The second string lower half tone, and that should be in tune. Then I go back to the A and B pedal, and well, actually, you only need the A pedal. Raise your B to C sharp, and lower the first second string a whole tone. That's then you tune that one. Those two together. That's 2 and 5. Well, once you got those, then you get your E to F pedals, which is the fourth and eighth string. And you do that, I tune those with the A pedal down and hit strings 4, 5, and 6. Now those are in tune. Then I hit 4, 5, 6, and 8. That's all in tune. And I know my 10th string's in tune because I've already tuned that. Should have been in tune. I tuned it open, I didn't tune it closed. So almost everything now is in tune except your seventh string. And that's the most problematical string on the guitar besides the sixth string. And there's no way to tune the seventh string both ways, because if you're going to use the seventh string with the sixth, it's going to sound like this. Out of tune, it's going to be sharp if you got the second pedal beat down. But that's in the tempering process again. Then. So what I do is compromise. I want it tuned with my eighth string lower with my fifth string open. So I have five, 7, and 8 are tuned together. If those are in tune, then I can work around it. When I do the licks where I have to use the seventh string, I'll snap the bar, I'll cheat just a little bit. Now, on a lot of guitars, there are compensators which will do that automatically for you, and it's a lot better function than doing it with the bar. I don't like the compensators because I can feel them when I press the pedals, but they will, you can tune them exactly right, so this will happen every time you press that A pedal. But that's essentially it. On my guitar, there's nothing left to tune, except, well, the first string, I'll raise that one a half tone. And the only way you can tune that one is to tune it with the A and B pedals down and strings one, three, four, and five. And that gives you a semblance of weight of the way the chords are sounding. A lot of guys in Nashville now have gone to that pedal, except they're raising it a whole tone. I do it with the bar, you know, to get the extra half tone, but it's a lot more accurate if you don't have to slap the bar, but it gives me more flexibility if I slap the bar, but you're safer if you're going to raise that first string to raise it a whole tone rather than a half tone, and then just tune it with the third string. And I know it sounds complicated and awkward, and but that's it. If there are any questions, I know that raises probably more questions than I answer about how to tune, because everybody tunes a little differently. But the thing to remember is that the seventh string is always going to be out of tune one way or the other. If you're going to play with the seventh string and the sixth string with the pedal B, and that seventh string is going to be sharp, unless you have a compensator to flat. So the only thing you can do is tune it a little bit flat. It's still a little sharp, but then when you play, you'll see what happens when you play the triad I was talking about, 5, 7, and 8. Here's what happens. Then you're out of tune that way. So there's no way to make them both work. So as I said before, I tune 5, 7, and 8. The 8th string is lower in halftone because I use those combinations quite a bit. Now, I can't think of any other thing I haven't tuned on the guitar, but if you got any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. I don't know if this kind of a demonstration makes sense to ask questions about.
Is this the same tuning you've had for 3 years?
That's an interesting question to me because of about 25, 26 years ago, I finally arrived at this setting. And the only pedal I had missing was an F pedal. Nobody had an F pedal, any F pedal. And Pete Drake had an idea to put a pedal on that raised 3 strings after you pressed A and B. He had one needle over that would, after you press this. He had another pedal that brought 3 more strings up to do this. Without moving the bar, I mean, just hitting those 3 strings. Another knee level will do this, and that's where I got the idea for the EDF. I thought, well, hey, that's a great idea, except you can do it in a much simpler fashion because all we needed was some way to block up and down the guitar without having to slam our bar, right? You know. And once I heard him do that on a record with Don Gibson, I said the light turned on my brain. I said, yeah, don't need all those extra strings raising because you already got 2 of those notes. All you needed was this one. And that's where the EDF pedal came from. And I used it on a record with Tammy Wynette in 1966 or 67. It was a record of the year called Divorce. And that was the first time the EDF pedal was used. And obviously it caught on, everybody used it. It doesn't matter to me if somebody else wants to claim responsibility for the pedal. Somebody perhaps might have had it. I had never heard it. But in any event, that was the only pedal I didn't have. And once I got that pedal on my guitar, I said, now it's complete. I can learn to play this thing right. It just seemed to click in place. Everything was what I needed to play music. And what in the process, about 2 years before, I had taken the 4th string. Everybody lowers the 4 and 8. But I took the 4th string off. The lowering part, because it wouldn't come back accurately on my old showboat. And in the studio, they really were pretty critical about they want you to be in tune, and that guitar, that string come back flat and sharp. And so I finally took it to showboat and Chop Jackson. I said, look, take that change off my guitar. I'll just do it. I'll find another way to do it. And it in fact, changed the way I play music, because without having that 4th string to lower, it forced me into ways to circumvent that and play the same thing. So I do it with the 2nd string and other strings. There's no way if I play a song that you would know that I wasn't going 4th string, but it does require bar slants and just a different approach, different way to think about how to do it. It's not as smooth as if you have the ED flat. This guitar will do it. Obviously, any of the new guitars will come back to pitch accurately, but I've gotten spoiled in my ways, and it would change once again fundamentally the way I play the guitar if I went back to Lord of the Edie Flats. I don't suggest it to anybody, but it's just a demonstration that anything you can imagine about visualize on the guitar as far as tuning and pedal setup, you'll learn to play things that nobody else is playing, perhaps, if you got one pedal different. And that one pedal alone probably helped me create my style more than anything else by not having this 8-string floor and the E-down pedal. Because then I got into the 4th and 8th, and with the E-down pedal, it just made a whole new style for me. I think I've gotten away. Well, tell me, did I miss the question?
I just asked you if that was, if you had added any pedals.
The simple answer is no. Since about 1966, when I got this set up where I wanted it, I said, well, good, I can play music now, not be concerned about it.
This one doesn't have the housing stickers on it?
No, Jimmy Crawford put about 4 or 5 on this thing when I picked it up. And each day I took one off till I got them all off. They're great things if you're used to them, but I could actually feel them. They're very subtle, but I could feel them coming into activation when I would press the pedal. So it just distracted me too much to use, so I took them off. But they're wonderful helpers on those tempering problems on the 7th string. But I'll tell you one more little secret now. It's the 6th string. I haven't used an unwrapped 6th string for 25 or more years either. And that came about because, as you saw on that guitar there, just putting your palm on it for just a few seconds, that string sharpens the 6th string. Almost every player I hear who's not one of the top players in Nashville, that 6th string is going to be sharp. Always be sharp, and it's because the string is unwound. And it has a nicer tone, actually, than the wrap. But if you go to a wound string, you eliminate about 90% of that problem. Plus, any cabinet drop is not noticeable if you've got a wound string, because it's a heavier string. I was having trouble with that string in the studio, recording studio too, and I just couldn't tolerate it. So Chuck Jackson was the one who suggested I go to a 22 wound. And that's what I've always stuck with. And one of the greatest players in the world in Nashville, Tommy Wyatt, I didn't know until about a year ago that he uses the identical string. He uses a wound string. I could have sworn, listening to him, that it was an unwound 22 gauge 6th string. But so even to an educated ear, I was fooled by that. But that proves to me also that the string's not that important as far as to whether or not you use a wound or unwound. But I just know that it'll stay in tune a lot better if you have a wound 22,000-6th string. If you ever convert to that, though, it requires probably moving the cross rod underneath to accommodate the larger string and then retuning it. But it's a very simple process. Once it's locked in, it's there forever. But I used to tune that 6th string just constantly in the studio when I had the unwound, and it just drove me crazy. So. Anybody else got any questions? We probably just start playing music again, do that, wouldn't
we? We discussed that the last time. The only thing if they're dropping that number 6.
I'm sorry. He just pointed out an error of what I said. I should remember that. This gentleman's right. If you lower the 6th string, you cannot use the wrap string. And since I don't lower it, I always overlook that factor. It will not, it won't tend accurately, right?
A little this way down and crack. The reason why, I went through about 3 months of that one time learning that. If you drop it, you can't use it.
You know, I'm never going to forget that again, because you're not the first that's pointed that out when I said this.
We run into that last time. Yeah.
When you lower that 6th string and raise it, and it's impossible to use this wrap string, you have to use another wound string, because it won't. If you don't lower the 6th string, you're okay.
Could you tell us the origin of the 9th, E9th, and the chromatic?
Well, I'm not certain of the chronological history of it. You got all these guys claiming different things. The way I understand it, Jimmy Day came up with I'm not sure. He came up with the E-flat or the F-sharp string on top, and Buddy Evans came up with the other one. So between the two of them, I think the E-flat, the first two strings we used, came from those two guys.
Ralph Mooney had to do with that up front.
Well, he might. I'll be different because I'm not.
I'll just say the keys, the first one I heard music.
Chromatic?
The two front strings. Two, no.
Well, I'd always been told Buddy and Jimmy did, but I don't have any knowledge of that. So I'll you and your expertise it.
Well, I heard that those two top strings were at the back of the neck.
Well, no, that's true. When I got to Nashville.
Then they moved them up on the first.
Actually, when I came to Nashville, the F sharp string, all the guys, Jimmy Day had it on the fourth string, I believe. He had, I'm not sure if the G sharp string was on, but it seems to me the tuning started with the E string. The F sharp being the fourth string. No. And that was the entire tuning. But sometime the first year after I got to Nashville, this string got moved to the eighth string, which was all I think most guys had, either eighth or whatever. Or ninth string. There was nine string guitar before the 10 came on. And I don't know exactly when these two strings got moved to the top. All I can tell you is I didn't have anything to do with it, so I'm just glad they're there.
You're right, Jimmy. They and Amos did come up with those two front strings.
Well, I always was told they did. And I know they were the first two I saw playing. Actually, Walter Haynes had the F sharp string the first time I ever saw it, but he had got it from Jimmy Day. And I think